Our lives are full of making decisions. What car to buy, whether or not to get married, who you are going to marry, going on possibly to participate in further education, or what house to buy. Oftentimes, the decisions that we make affect our life outcomes. They are so very important, these decisions that we make. My dad, my father, used to call these critical decisions the hindsight. He would always say, if I could have just had a little bit more hindsight, I could have made a better decision on what I did. And he used to tell my brother and I to make sure you have plenty of the hindsight. In other words, he was talking about discernment. Discernment is so very critical in making decisions and knowing what path to take. Winston Churchill talked about the true picture. He said, the great thing is to get the true picture, whatever it is. We, as students of the Bible, want to gain more understanding from God's Word. To get, as Winston Churchill called it, the true picture of God's will, His plan for mankind, and what He expects from us as disciples. To have good and proper discernment is a great thing for a disciple to have. But even more important is to have proper spiritual discernment. Turn with me, please, to begin with, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The Apostle Paul was writing to the brethren in Corinth, the city of Corinth, located in Greece. And Corinth was known for its immorality, a very immoral society. And the people, the brethren in the church, were dealing with an immoral society and their own carnality. Put it on a scale of the world we live in today, we see that we're living in a society that is getting away from God and becoming more and more immoral. And so we can relate to what the Apostle Paul is talking about as he writes to the Corinthian brethren. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. But the natural man, the man with carnality, human nature, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And again, that's reflected in society, and even today's society. Many of God's principles, the Ten Commandments, God's Word is looked at as foolishness. For they are foolishness to him, for nor can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned, the truths of God. One of the great principles of being a disciple and to follow in the very footsteps of Jesus Christ is being able to discern principles and scriptures from the truth of God's Word. So how can we be spiritually discerning disciples? Today, the title of today's sermon is The Value of a Discerning Disciple. The Value of a Discerning Disciple. Today, let's learn the value of being a discerning disciple, to discern spiritual principles from God's Word. Now, the very foundation, and the foundation is a supporting structure, the foundation of discernment comes from our relationship with God. Our relationship with God built through the Holy Spirit. We have to have the Holy Spirit working in our lives to build that foundation to have spiritual discernment. And we learn from God's Word, the pages of the Bible, how to become a discerning disciple. So during this sermon, we will examine what discernment is from the Bible, looking at both the Greek in the New Testament and the Hebrew in the Old Testament. And we will finish with four keys to becoming a discerning disciple. Let's go back here to verse 14, the last part. The Apostle Paul says, the things of the Spirit of God are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. Part of the gift of baptism. When we are baptized and we have repented of our sins, gone under that water, had our sins washed away, forgiven of, then we come up out of that water, clean as a whistle, have the hands put on our head to receive the Holy Spirit. That gift of the Holy Spirit is what helps us to become spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit helps us develop discernment. Expositor's commentary, which is commenting about the things of the Spirit of God, the truth of God, says this: the man without the Spirit cannot understand, because these truths can be discerned and understood only with the guidance of the Spirit. Guidance of the Spirit. And we can ask God for more of the Holy Spirit so that we can have the kind of spiritual discernment that He wants us to have. Okay, let's take a few moments now and let's examine the word discernment, our English word discernment, discern or discernment. In the New Testament, discern and discernment only occur four times. Four times. And this is one of them here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Our English word, discern, is based on the Greek word krino, K-R-I-N-O, which has three steps to it. There's three steps to the meaning of this word: to examine, then to scrutinize, and finally to judge. Three steps to this word discernment from the Greek: examine, scrutinize, look over real well, and then to judge or decide. Let me give you an example. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Apostle Paul, we think it's the Apostle Paul that wrote to the Hebrews. It's not really said here, but most likely it was. In verse number 12, writes about God's word personified, like if God's word was a person, if we could imagine it being a person. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. For the word of God, God's word, which is right in front of us, we're reading it. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and notice, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I think it's very significant that this word heart is used at the end of this verse, because there's a very strong connection, and we'll talk about that here in a few moments. The sense here is, and going back to this Greek definition, the three-step definition, that God's word is does a sort of an examination, a judicial investigation of the heart, examines the heart, scrutinizes the heart, and judges the heart. That's what God's word does. Examines the heart, scrutinizes the heart, and judges the heart. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, a section of scripture that we read approaching the Passover time. A very solemn occasion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Again, another one of these times, one of the four times that this word discernment is used in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse number 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And of course, this is talking about the New Testament Passover ceremony, the symbols of the bread and wine, symbolizing Christ's shed blood and his broken body in our stead. For he, verse 29, he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. So with reference to partaking of the bread and wine, unworthily, that a disciple could do, by not discerning what they represent, the broken body and shed blood of Christ. And discernment, spiritual discernment, gives us that understanding, the deep meaning of what Christ's shed blood and broken body means for each and every one of us. It has deep meaning and significance, and spiritual discernment helps us to understand that. And as we approach the Passover service, you know, which we know is such a solemn occasion, and we want to prepare properly, we can ask God, give me that discernment to really understand what it is that Christ has done for me. So that's an example of discernment from the Greek in the New Testament. Let's take a look at the Old Testament now. Discernment, our English word discernment from the Hebrew, is an aspect of understanding alongside that of insight and perception. And really, discernment and understanding go hand in hand. Discernment and understanding, according to the Hebrew in the Old Testament, go hand in hand. The Hebrew word bin and binah, which translates understanding in the Old Testament, appear 37 times and relate to understanding, but they emphasize aspects of discerning. They are translated understanding in our English version of the Bible, but they emphasize aspects of discerning. Let's take a look at that in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 in verses 1 and 2. God gave Daniel special understanding, special discernment, so that he could translate and tell King Nebuchadnezzar of his dream. And it troubled Nebuchadnezzar, and this dream actually foretold four world-ruling empires that would rule upon this earth from that time forward up until the time of the return of Jesus Christ. But there's another prophecy here in Daniel chapter 9, verse number 2, that God gave him special understanding to as well. Daniel chapter 9, verse number 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Now, we talked about this in the Minor Prophets Bible Study series, how the Medo-Persian Empire conquered the Babylonian Empire. And when they conquered the Babylonian Empire, which was a great world-ruling empire, they finally, Cyrus made a decree, and the Jews were able to go back to their homeland because they had been in captivity in the land of Babylon. We talked about that before. Now, notice verse number 2. In the first year of his reign, Darius the Mede, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So what Daniel is saying here is that he understood, had discernment, by reading the books of Jeremiah, God's word, on the 70 years of captivity that the Jews would suffer in the land of Babylon. And that came to pass. He understood. In fact, this word understood here, the Companion Bible says, that he came to an understanding, implying that he did not know this before. In other words, he didn't understand that the Jews were going to be 70 years in captivity in Babylon. But when he read the book of Jeremiah, he came to that understanding, the spiritual, the discernment to understand that prophecy by reading God's word. He discerned by the books, especially the book of Jeremiah. If you want to write this down, Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 11 through 12, and chapter 29, verse number 10. And of course, God gave him this discernment to understand this prophecy. So again, in the Old Testament, understanding and discernment go hand in hand. So now let's take a look for the rest of the sermon time, having evaluated what this word means in the Hebrew and the Greek. Let's take a look at four keys to having proper spiritual discernment. Four keys to having proper spiritual discernment. Number one, discernment is connected with the heart. Discernment is connected with the heart. And I referred to that a little bit, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, where the very last word in there, the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the heart. The heart is connected. Spiritual discernment and understanding involves the mind and the heart, and the heart is a key factor. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We were there, I believe, in my last sermon when we went through this section of Scripture on the parable of the sower and the seed. And this is in the middle of that particular parable. Of course, the parable of the sower and the seed, Christ made it plain that it has to do with the response to the gospel message, to his word being preached, the different responses. Matthew chapter 13, and we will be reading verses 10 through 15. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 10. Again, this is in the middle of the parable of the sower and the seed. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And I mentioned this to you the last time that I spoke, that with this particular parable, the parable of the sower and the seed, Christ changed his method of teaching. Before, in the synagogues, he had been handed a scroll. He read from the law and expounded upon it. That's the way they did it in the synagogues. But it wasn't safe for him to be in the synagogues anymore because the Jewish leaders wanted to kill him. So he began to speak to the people out in the open air, by the sea, in houses, and he spoke in parables. So the disciples say, "Why do you speak to them in parables? Why did you change up your method of speaking?" Notice his answer. He answered and said to them, verse number 11, "Because it has been given to you, you disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven," or the kingdom of God, "but to them it has not been given." You have special discernment. You can understand. God is working with you, opening up your mind to understand what the kingdom of God is about. But the rest of those that he's not working with, they don't understand. Now notice verse number 12. "For whoever has, to him more will be given." Better be using this special understanding. "And he will have more abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not understand." It takes discernment to understand what I'm talking about. Verse number 14. "And in them," these people that do not understand, "in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive.'" It just doesn't enter. Verse number 15. "For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing." Notice the emphasis from this prophecy that Christ emphasizes on the heart and the connection with understanding. "Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and lest they should understand and with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." There's a connection between understanding principles of God's kingdom, God's word, and the heart. The aid to Bible understanding adds this. It says, "There is interaction of mind and heart in considering, analyzing, reasoning, pondering, and meditating." By God's help, he can give that understanding. That is, to discern between right and wrong motives of oneself and also of others. Again, a connection between discernment and the heart. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 21. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 21. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. Now, I'm reading in the New King James Version. It says destitute of discernment. If you're reading in the Old King James, I believe it says destitute of wisdom. But literally, the margin says it should be translated heart. Destitute of heart. Notice the last part of verse 21. But a man of understanding walks uprightly. Walks uprightly. Walks down the right road. The road that God wants him to do. And how does he have that understanding? Through discernment. Or the heart. Connection between discernment, heart, and wisdom. Understanding and discernment and the heart go hand in hand. Ask God. Ask God. And he would like nothing better to have a discerning heart. To understand the spiritual principles that he wants to understand. Like I mentioned, the great importance of the Passover and the symbols of the Passover. Ask God to have a discerning heart with the help of the Holy Spirit. That'd be a great thing that God would like to hear. You know, to ask for physical things is one thing. And we do have needs. But to have a spiritual discerning heart, God would love to have us ask for that. Psalm chapter 49. Psalm chapter 49, verses 1 through 4. Psalm chapter 49, verse number 1. This is a call out to all peoples of the world. Verse number 1. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the word, of the world. Remember Jesus Christ in the middle of the parable that we just read in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. He talked about hearing and understanding. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. Verse number 3, here's what he wants us to hear and give ear to. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. Again, the connection between wisdom, understanding, and the heart. Notice verse number 4. I will incline my ear. Remember Jesus Christ said about the hearing and the importance of it? I will incline my ear, the effort that's made. I will incline my ear to a proverb. And I will disclose my dark saying on the harp. The meditation of my heart shall give understanding, the last part of verse number 3. And notice in verse number 4, the phrase dark saying. That can mean a riddle, an enigma, and it refers to a perplexing moral problem. A perplexing moral problem. A problem that perhaps we are having. Something that can be discerned with an understanding heart. That brings me to key number 2 to proper spiritual discernment. A disciple must ask God for spiritual discernment. A disciple must ask God for spiritual discernment. And as I said, God would be happy to have that request made to him. Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. Notice verse 169. Psalm chapter 119, verse 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. And what's the cry for? What's the pleading? Give me understanding according to your word. The cry here is a cry for help, a help cry for understanding God's word. The Nelson Study Bible points out that this phrase, come before, usually refers to a presentation of an offering before God. But the only offering the psalmist can present is his cry for help, for understanding, and for an understanding heart, spiritual discernment. Notice verse 73. Let's back up a couple pages. Verse 73 of the same chapter. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Verse number 34. Let's back up a page or so. Verse 34. Give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Asking for that understanding, that spiritual discernment, and the connection again with the heart. Colossians chapter 1. Let's take a look at the New Testament here. The Apostle Paul writing to the brethren in Colossae. In this section of Scripture, in Colossians chapter 1, he's praising the brethren for their faith and their love. Colossians chapter 1. And we will be reading verses 8 through 10. Actually, we'll begin in verse number 4. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 4. Again, he's addressing the brethren in Colossae here. He's to the Colossians. Let's pick it up in verse number 3. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Verse number 8, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. And verse number 9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it of their love and their faith, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, praying for the brethren that they be filled with knowledge of God's will, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. You know, not only can we pray for ourselves to have spiritual understanding, but for the brethren as well, so that they can grow and grow in the fruits of the Spirit and develop the character that God wants them to have. He prays that they be filled with the knowledge in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The Nelson Study Bible adds this. Paul's chief concern is that the Colossians might have the full knowledge of God's will. The desire to serve God will be in vain without a proper understanding of the one we want to serve. And spiritual understanding comes through discernment given by the Holy Spirit. And we should ask for that discernment through God's Spirit. Let's go back to where we started, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, again, the Apostle Paul addressing the brethren in Corinth, and because they were dealing with their own carnality, and he's telling them that in order to work on this carnality, you've got to have the help of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 11 through 15. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. God's Spirit gives us that understanding. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And where we began this sermon, verse 14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And we can ask God for that discernment and the mind of Christ to help us so that we can grow, and in our time of need as well, to make those critical decisions, especially as we approach critical times towards the end time before Jesus Christ returns. Key number 3, to spiritual, proper spiritual discernment. Pride, self-will, and stubbornness are enemies of discernment. Pride, self-will, and stubbornness are enemies of discernment. Matthew chapter 18. Believe it or not, we've talked about this many times before, Jesus Christ had to work with the disciples, and they had these qualities of the human nature within them. And they had to fight those the human nature. Always wondering who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And I find that particular question, I look at that and I shake my head. You know, there they were following Jesus Christ, listening to those messages, seeing the miracles that he was working, talking about the kingdom of God, the future, probably things that aren't even expounded here in the scriptures for us, amazing things. And yet they're wondering, who's going to be the top dog? Verse number 2, Christ put him in order. He said, Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted," and how do we become converted? Through the help of the Holy Spirit working in our lives to follow in Christ's footsteps. "Unless you are converted and become as little children," in other words, humble like a little child, "unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And that is a step towards true conversion, getting rid of that pride, the self-will, and the seeking to be above others. Conversion by means of the Holy Spirit. And it takes humility to be able to have that quality. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 25. Proverbs chapter 19. Verse 25. Actually, the middle of verse 25 can be a little difficult if you don't really understand how this really is meant. Verse 25. "Strike a scoffer, and the simple will become weary. Rebuke one who has understanding, and he will discern knowledge." Now, what does that mean? Rebuke one who has understanding. This is talking about the person with true understanding who does not think he knows everything. One of those people that think that they know everything, and you can't tell me anything. Rebuke him, make him more humble, and he will have understanding and will be able to discern properly. Paraphrased, it would read like this. There should be a reproving of the, quote, understanding one, that he may be able to discern knowledge. In other words, he needs to be humble to understand. And that's what Jesus Christ was telling the disciples in what we read in Matthew chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 13, just a few pages back. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 10. Proverbs 13, verse number 10. "By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom." The well-advised, understanding, and the heart going hand in hand. "By pride comes nothing but strife." It's hard to be discerning, in other words. "But with the well-advised comes wisdom." God's word gives us that understanding. And we need to work on using God's word. And that brings me to the fourth key to proper spiritual discernment that I want to give you today. We have to have diligence in studying and applying God's Word. Diligence in studying and applying God's Word. It will result in having greater insight and discernment. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. I know we were there earlier and I read this and we're going to repeat it, but I'm going to emphasize verse number 12 again because this is what we're talking about here. Diligence in studying and applying God's Word. Those people that were listening to Jesus Christ give those parables were hearing God's Word spoken to them. From the very Son of God, they were hearing God's Word. We have God's Word in front of us to understand. Matthew chapter 13, and let's go back to verse number 9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came to him and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Now I want to emphasize the next verse, verse number 12. For whoever has, to him more will be given. More will be given. To whoever has, whoever's using God's word, applying it in his or her life, more will be given and more spiritual discernment. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. And he will have abundance. And we have that opportunity to diligently study and apply God's word so that we can gain greater spiritual discernment. The last part of the verse, but whoever does not have, whoever's not using, whoever's not applying, even what he has will be taken away from him. I think we'd rather be qualified in the first part of the verse than the last part of the verse. Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. And again, the sermon a little bit on the shorter side because we have the Bible study to follow. Psalm chapter 119. And let's begin reading in verse number 97. This is one of the songs that we read from our hymnal. But think about this as we apply this to studying and applying God's word diligently so that we can have greater spiritual discernment. Psalm chapter 119, verse number 97. Oh, how love I your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. For they are ever with me, wiser than my enemies, and to give me understanding to make those right decisions, those critical decisions. Verse number 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. You know, there's a lot of people in the world today that have high degrees, you know, all kinds of titles after their names from the studies that they have made. Can tell you about things, you know, science, mathematics, whatever it might be. But can they tell you about God's Word? Probably not. Maybe couldn't even name one commandment. But I, as the psalm here says, I have more understanding than all my teachers because I understand your Word and God gives me that insight. Verse 100, I understand more than the ancients. Because I keep your precepts. You know, this is something that we don't think about enough. But back in those ancient times, they had extensive libraries and books. A lot of those towns, Ephesus, Colossae, even going back to Babylon in Egypt, they had extensive books and libraries. And what the psalmist is saying here is, I have more understanding than all those ancient wisdom and wise people. Because I understand your precepts. In verse 101, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. Your word gives me that discernment so that I can stay on the right path. Wisdom comes from God's word guiding us. Psalm 111. Just a couple more scriptures here before we close. Psalm chapter 111. Of course, this fourth key, diligence in studying and applying God's word. to have proper spiritual discernment. Psalm chapter 111. Psalm chapter 111, and let's begin reading in verse number 2. Psalm 111, verse number 2. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. And not only the creation, we can look upon the creation and wonder and marvel at God's beautiful creation that He's made and so many things, so many works of His hands, but also the works of the Scriptures and the knowledge from it. We can have pleasure in them as well. Verse number 7, the works of His hands are verity and justice, or could be better translated, truth and justice, and all His precepts are sure. Boy, the governments of the world should read verse number 7. They might have a chance to get it right if they apply God's word in their governments. The works of His hands are verity and justice, truth and justice. All His precepts are sure. Verse number 8, they stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. And then verse number 10 sums it all up. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The proper relationship with God, spiritual relationship, growing in that relationship with Jesus Christ, gives us that wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments, and His praise endures forever. A relationship with God determines whether we use and apply correct spiritual discernment. At the beginning of this sermon, we talked about making those critical decisions, what Winston Churchill referred to as the true picture. Well, our great God is the foundation of wisdom and discernment, and we can build our lives on His foundation. If we continue to develop our relationship with Him, He will give us more spiritual discernment by means of the Holy Spirit. I want to close by reading Proverbs chapter 3. I'll just read these two verses and then we'll close the sermon. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, because this says so much. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths.